So, my roof is over. Everyone said thank you very much for praying with me. It's been an honor and pleasure to share the minion with you. Would you like to put on tefillin now? What do you say?
What? Say it again?
I laughed too. Yeah. But this is an actual question. A rabbi is in a very far-flung community. He actually made a minion for Mincha and Ma'ariv. He was not successful in making a minion for Shachris. And Ma'ariv is over. And he says to everyone, thank you for coming, because he called each and every person individually to come, because no one came out of their own free will. And Ma'ariv is over, and the rabbi says, would you like to put on tefillin? What do you say? After Chatzos. Chatzos alayla or Chatzos hayom?
You just don't get the mitzvah, but you can do it.
Ah, interesting. So when you read Shulchan Aruch, as I always told you, life is very simple. You get up in the morning, you wash your hands 3 times, after saying Moda Ani, you go to shul, you put on your tefillin, and you go about your merry way. But when you get to reality, there are many people that get up in the morning, they do not wash their hands 3 times on each hand, they do not go to shul in the morning, and they will not even come in the afternoon. But if a nice, friendly rabbi calls them and says, please come help him make a minion, they will come. In this particular shul, in this particular locale, they didn't make a minion for Mincha and Ma'ariv in such a way that Ma'ariv was after dark. They made a minion for Mincha and Ma'ariv when Ma'ariv was right after the plag HaMincha, and Mincha was right before the plag HaMincha that we've discussed many times. That's Lechatchila, that's absolutely okay. The question is, now that Ma'ariv is over, and it's still broad daylight outside, can he say, who would like to put on tefillin? You all know the old joke, no? So you daven Ma'ariv on a Friday night when you do Shabbos early, and you say Shabbat Shalom, and then a little boy says to his father, but we just said Ma'ariv HaRavim, it's night, God brings night. It's night, quiet! Then the kid goes home, and he's eating soup, and the mother takes the soup out of the pot with a ladle and puts it into a bowl and gives the kid the bowl of soup, and the kid takes a little bite of the bowl of soup and goes, ay, it's too hot! And the father bangs on the table and says, what's the matter with you? You can't say that. Why? The soup is hot. No, it isn't. It's in a klishlishi. You can't be hot. And that same little boy then lives in Chutz Laaretz. He comes to the second night of Yontif. And he says, but I don't understand. Why are we doing a second Seder? We did a Seder last night. No, no, last night we weren't sure if it really was the first night of Yontif. So we're going to pretend as if we're not. He said, but there was a calendar. It says the 15th of Nisan. It says it in the Torah. We read it that day. Pretend it isn't. So now you're davening Ma'ariv after the plag. Plag Mincha. We're talking about an hour and a quarter before sunset. And it is still broad daylight outside. And they daven Ma'ariv. Can the rabbi say, hey, who would like to put on tefillin? So we pretended it's night. Now pretend time is over. Let's forget about make-believe. I know your teacher in kindergarten told you to do make-believe. But now we're back to reality. What do we do? Can you or can't you?
At least you've explained how you've invented psychiatry.
Well, that's the way you describe it. That's
how
the way we all
grew up. So, after presenting the question, pardon?
There's no Torah prohibition to put on at night.
So let's see. Excellent point. I forgot your name. I'm sorry.
Arthur.
Arthur, let's start with the basics. Can you put on tefillin at night? Assuming that if you daven Ma'ariv, you have turned light into darkness, or to be more precise, you have turned day into night. Can you put on tefillin at night? Is there a prohibition to put on tefillin at night?
With a bracha
de gantz. What can you? Again, when you say bracha, Bruce, that doesn't really faze me, because see, a bracha is not ma'akev a mitzvah. You should make a bracha and do a mitzvah. But sometimes, if you don't do a bracha, you forgot to make a bracha, you still fulfill the mitzvah. So the bracha point, you're right, maybe we can play around with it a bit and we'll get to it. But in general, let's start with that. Can you put on tefillin at night with a bracha and say, you have commanded me, God, to put on tefillin? Even at night. So let's look at the top of the source sheet. As you all know, everyone around this table has put on tefillin in their life. Many of you saw the black boxes. Some of you actually know that in the black boxes there's something written, right? So, it's one of the written partials as the Shulchan Aruch brings is Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. Kadesh Li Kol Bechor. I brought you the text here right where it says introduction number 1. Take 30 seconds and tell me, this paragraph, which is written as one of the 4 in our tefillin, Kadesh Li Kol Bechor, what is it talking about? If you have to give a title, What is it talking about?
The day you left Egypt.
It's talking about the day you left Egypt. Okay. It starts with that. But what's the topic? What's the subject? If you were teaching this in a class, you say, today we're going to learn this passage which talks about...
Well, it's about Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're getting closer, Bruce. Keep on going. Exactly. Well, also... Everyone's taking one pasuk and saying, that's it. There's a few psukim here. I think pasuk Aleph through Yud. 10 psukim. Not so hard to read.
It should be a sign on your hand and a memory between your eyes.
Okay. Right. So on this parsha, you are correct. It says, and you shall put on tefillin, right? And you shall put on a sign on your hand and a remembrance between your eyes. That it does say, and that's why it makes its way into the tefillin as the Shulchan Aruch paskens in Siman Lamed Bet. That's correct. However, what's the topic of this? If you have to give a topic, you're learning in the school whose bell we're hearing right now, you're teaching this particular passage, what would be the topic? The mitzvot commemorating the leaving of Egypt. What do we talk about here? We talk about not eating chametz, we talk about coming to Israel, and we're going to have a 7-day holiday called, what we colloquially call Pesach, and you're going to eat matzahs for 7 days, and no chametz, and vihigadata levincha, as you pointed out in the Testament, and everything around that, and at the end, it says, and you shall put tefillin on, in order to remember leaving Egypt. Like, not getting into the question of how does putting on tefillin remind us of Egypt. We know how matzah reminds us of Egypt. We don't understand how the tefillin reminds us.
But
let's just talk about the fact that when you read the actual passage, the majority of it is not talking about tefillin. There's one pasuk out of 10 that talks about it. But still, it's one of the parshios of the tefillin. So it's one of the parshios and the tefillin on the one hand. On the other hand, doesn't even talk about it. Comes along the Gemara in Meseches Eruvin. I'm sorry I got cut off here. Meseches Eruvin Daf Tzadik Vav Amud Aleph. And says as follows. Veshamarta tachuka azot lemoada miyamim yamima. That's what it says at the end of this passage. Which means, and you shall guard this particular law from your days to your days. Chazal are always sensitive when the Torah says something that it doesn't need to say. Like if it says, for some whatever reason, out of every kabed et avicha ve et imecha, as opposed to kabed et avicha ve imecha, the Gemara picks up, why is there an extra et? So if you say, v'shamarta tachuka azot lemoada, why does it have to answer, why does it have to add, miyamim yamima? Just keep the law, finish, keep the law.
Because some people say, like you did in one or two of the times, you say v'shamarta, rather than v'shamarta.
Very good.
That's
a good point, a good point. So the Gemara picks up on the words miyamim yamima and tries to explain it and says, according to one day, yamim velo leilot. That from this pasuk you learn, you can only put on tefillin during the day and not at night. And then it goes on, miyamim, it doesn't just say yamim yamima, it says miyamim velo kol yamim. You put it on certain days and not on other days. Which days don't we put on tefillin? Shabbatot v'yamim tovim, divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, why does this pasuk say miyamim yamima? And what is it talking about? It's talking about keeping the law of tefillin, which is written in the pasuk right before. The pasuk before said, "Vayalacha la'ot al yadcha u'zikaron b'neinecha." The next pasuk says, "Veshamarta tachuka azot." What shall you guard? The mitzvah of tefillin. How shall you guard the mitzvah of tefillin? In many ways, one of which is you don't put it on at night, you don't put it on Shabbos and Yantif. That's the way Rav Yossi Aglili read this pasuk. Comes along Rabbi Akiva and says, "What in God's name are you talking about? I just read this passage. There's 10 psukim. One out of the 10 talks about tefillin. The other 8 talk about
Pesach.
So yamim velo leilot, very nice, but it's not talking about tefillin. It's talking about the laws that govern Pesach." Says Rabbi Akiva, "Lo ne'emar chuka zo leyom Pesach bilvad." Rashi explains, "V'hai miyomim yamima, mashnu shana alma midelo darash Rabbi Akiva hakrai betefillin." Shma mina, the sphere of Leila v'Shabbat, Zman tefillin. This particular pasuk is not talking about tefillin. You cannot learn that midoraisa biblically. You can't put on tefillin at night because this passage is talking about the mitzvahs of Pesach. There is one pasuk out of 10 that talks about tefillin, but you cannot say that the final pasuk, the conclusion, is talking about tefillin too. So Rav Yossi Aglili says midoraisa, you can't put on tefillin at night. And Rabbi Akiva says, Midoraisa, no problem. And as a matter of fact, just to make this tangible, during the years of the Holocaust, there were questions that were asked. Questions Jews continued to ask Shilas even during the Holocaust. It's an amazing phenomenon. I don't know how they did it. I really can't even fathom in my mind how in the middle of that hell they were able to still ask Shilas. And after the Holocaust, literature came out, responsive literature, that talks about what the Jews asked during the years of the Holocaust, from the ghetto through the concentration camps. The most famous, of course, is Mima'amakim, written by Rav Oshri, who died in the year 2002, I believe, in New York. But one of the other books is Alei Mevorot by Moshe Yehoshua Aronson, who's made his way to Israel. He was a Rav in Petach Tikva at the end of his life. Big, big goal. And he talks about the fact that in the concentration camp, they would get up when it was still pitch black outside. It was not yet even Alot HaShachar. It wasn't time to put on tefillin. When is the time to put on tefillin in the morning? You're close. Mishiyakir et Chavero. As soon as you can recognize an image coming towards you and he's a friend and you say, oh, how you doing? I know you. So it's still dark, but not so dark. It's beginning to get light. That's the time to start putting on Talis tefillin. Well, they got up way before. They got up during the night. And that's when they had what we call in Hebrew a Sha'at Kosher, a 2-minute window of time when the Nazis weren't looking at them to put on tefillin. And says Rav Aharonson, he says that because me d'oraisa, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, that you could put on tefillin at night, then if these people should put on tefillin at that moment, we'll learn in a moment why me d'rabbanon we don't, but me d'oraisa, you should, and we don't have any other time during the day. And says Rabbi Aharonson, and I'll just read you his words because it's absolutely heartbreaking. Aval benidon didan dilo efshar bevadai tov gam balayla la'achar hashena keomed la'avodat hayom la'anicham dim lo kein, because if you don't put it on at night, what's going to happen?
You won't be able to put it on at all.
Yevutal legamri yamim veshanim mitzvatan. People are going to forget there's a mitzvah called tefillin. Ve'efshar ko yamei chayav ki lo niru kaveh chofesh. And when we were in those camps, we didn't think that we're ever going to be freed. It wasn't like we thought, oh, the Allies are coming. We're getting radio reports about the Normandy, and we're getting radio reports about what the Soviets are doing. It's just a matter of time. Let's wait it out. They thought that was it. Lo niru kaveh chofesh. And therefore says Rav Aharonson, v'amaru shavadim diyeh lo me lo lamim. We're going to be slaves forever. We're never getting out of here. So if you're going to be a slave forever, then you have to now make, excuse me for saying so, a Torah that's appropriate for this new reality. And the reality is a terrible reality. And therefore, he says, put on tefillin at night. And he wasn't the only one. I think Rav Oshri has exactly the same tshuva. And then he ends, and this is what I'm fulfilling today, v'yeze ot lemaskeret. This should be something to be remembered. Mitzvah shemarsanu nafshenu aleha. This is a mitzvah that we did with Mesirus Nefesh. Mesirus Nefesh, with due respect to people that learn Torah all day, is not Mesirus Nefesh. Mesirus Nefesh means giving your soul. And they gave their soul for this mitzvah because they could have been caught by the Nazis, who wouldn't say, ay, avoy le'yi, such a nice Jew putting on tefillin. And he says, not just we did this bevona, but be'oshvitz. Techev achara rechitza ashkem be'ishon layla hazman dachuk la'avodah. They were running us out of the barracks to go work, and we put on tefillin. So first of all, we fulfilled Rav Aharonson's plea to us, and we reminded ourselves of what they used to do in the camps. Second of all, we actually learned that we pasken like Rabbi Akiva, which means that d'oraisa, you could put on tefillin at night, no problem. That pasuk, miyamim mamima, is not talking about tefillin. What is it talking about?
Pesach.
So from our perspective, we're not holding by Pesach, we're holding by tefillin. Irrelevant. So, biblically, you could put on tefillin at night. Why don't we put on tefillin at night, rabbinically? Says the Shulchan Aruch, and this is based, of course, on a Gemara. Asur la'aniach tefillin b'layla, shema yishkachem ve'ishan bahem. You can't put on tefillin at night, because it's a gzeira derabbanan. And what's a gzeira derabbanan mean? Okay, what's a gzeira mean? La'archik et ha'adam min ha'avera, meaning God never said be careful about this, but we, the rabbis, are putting the fence a little before the cliff. The cliff is to touch your tefillin with dirty hands, or to touch your tefillin when you touch parts of your bodies that are concealed. We're worried you're going to do that when you sleep, because you're not going to take off your tefillin before you go to bed, and therefore you don't put on tefillin at night. Now you may look at me and say, I would never think of going to sleep with my tefillin on. So allow me to answer you two things. First of all, you would never think of it because of this Gzeira Derabbanan. What do you mean you never think of it? Because you only put on tefillin during the day. Number two, my own eyes have seen on planes people who are drugged on sleeping pills and whatnot, that they get up and they daven, and they, in their chair, they sleep with their tefillin on. They start davening, and I don't know what they're saying, but they are stop saying at a certain moment, and it looks like either they dropped dead or they went to sleep. Wait, I assume they went to sleep because no one said that someone was dead, and they are sleeping with their tefillin on.
So that can happen in a day.
It can happen in a day, too. So, but the difference is, during the day, the assumption is you have control when you're not jet-lag, as you are in a plane. You have control over your functions, over your bodily functions, and therefore you don't have to worry about putting them on during the day. We have limited tefillin to the day. We have limited tefillin only to davening because of that concern. So indeed, tefillin is a very holy object. And rabbinically, we've limited it only to the day because you may fall asleep in it. And the Mishnah Berurah explains what will happen if you fall asleep on it. The answer is you can, but the question always with regard to Chachamim is, do they worry about that? Meaning many things can happen. I mean, if you get into your car, you can get into an accident. But is that a clear and present danger that we should make a gezerah no one should drive their car? On the other hand, there's absolutely room to make a gezerah that when you go to sleep and your tefillin are on you, it's probably more of a probability that you're going to touch your tefillin after you touch parts of your body that are concealed. And therefore, for that particular reason, they made a gezerah. They didn't make a gezerah during the day because, very simply, first of all, God said to put on tefillin, so you can't be more frum than God. And number two, we assume that during the day you're wide awake, you won't touch your tefillin unless your hands are clean.
So the assumption was in the days that they used to walk around wearing tefillin the whole day, the assumption was then they never slept during the day?
That if they did, they took off their tefillin. We're worried at night, you're so tired, you fall asleep in your tefillin. If you fall asleep in your tefillin, you may be asleep for the night. It's not a 2-minute nap.
I mean, there's a question in Brachot, I believe, about going into the toilet. So that they were worried about that to some extent, but there's also a headache for them.
Well, again, they can take off their tefillin and go in and put it back on, like we do many times. But again, at night, because you're not in charge of your body or functions, many things can happen that, as the Mishnah Berurah spells out, things can happen that tefillin that would be unfortunately touched either with unclean hands or worse. So they were worried about that. So biblically you can wear tefillin at night, rabbinically we don't. Why? You may fall asleep in them, and therefore things can happen that will desecrate the sanctity of the tefillin. Alright, so that's the halach. So number one, night, from our perspective, is out. Unless there's very dire circumstances, night is out. Yeah, we're dealing here
internationally, and I find myself not being able to put on tefillin until it's dark out. And I think I should put on tefillin.
Well, Gzeira Derabbanan is not to. And therefore, it's indeed a Gzeira Derabbanan that basically the Rabbanan have a right to do. They have a license to say to you as a Jew, don't do a mitzvah. Just like on the first day Rosh Hashanah that falls on Shabbos, or the first day Sukkot that falls on Shabbos, they say, don't take a lulav or don't take a shofar respectfully. So they have a right to tell you, don't put on tefillin at night. But we're not talking necessarily here about night. How did we start the shir? Are we talking about night?
Yeah.
Or are we talking about
a virtual night? That really is
we're talking about a virtual night. A virtual night. We're talking about a time of the day where you have the right to daven Ma'ariv, and this particular shul did. Ma'ariv is over. The rabbi does not end Ma'ariv and say, good night. He says, you want to put on tefillin. Or he can't do that. Once you've davened Ma'ariv, you have declared that it's night, and therefore you can't put on tefillin. Now I can see it both ways, but I have a big problem. Because the Shulchan Aruch, the Code of Jewish Law, paskins, in Simon Lamed, Seif Bet, Simon Resh Lamed Gimel Seif Aleph, he says you can daven Mincha from the plag, and it's not a problem. And then, if you look on the right side of the sheet, you'll see what he says about this particular point. When you daven Ma'ariv right after Plag HaMincha, and it's still broad daylight outside, can you or can't you put on tefillin? Well, let me rephrase. Must you put on tefillin because, as pointed out, you didn't put it on all day? Or you're forbidden from doing so? Yeah.
I mean, the virtual question is, you went to shul for early Shabbat, now you get home, and lo and behold, they didn't know you did it, and they're still functioning like it's Friday. So can they do what they have to do? And even you.
We're going to get to that. That's right. We're going to get to that. And that's a big question we're going to get to. We're going to have to see what the Shulchan Aruch says in all these areas. Now, the Shulchan Aruch on this particular question is opinionated. And he bases himself on what he wrote in the Beit Yosef. So I told you many times, and it's important to know, that in this shir we try not just to give the halacha, we try to give you the name of the person, the real name of the person, and where he lived. So the Shulchan Aruch was not called Shulchan Aruch at his bris. He wasn't even called Beit Yosef at his bris. He wasn't called Kesef Mishneh at his bris. What was he called?
Yossi.
He was called Yosef, probably. Yossi is a more Ashkenazic thing. His family law, Leno, had to run away from Spain in 1492. They made it to Portugal. Eventually, he made it to Tzvat. He spent a little time afterwards when he was writing the Beit Yosef in Salonika in Greece. And then he, of course, came back to Tzvat. And he wrote the famous Shulchan Aruch, but the Shulchan Aruch was supposed to be a table of contents for his Beit Yosef. His Beit Yosef was like the Talmudic encyclopedia of his time. In the 1500s, he wrote everything that's written up until the 1500s, from the Gemara through the Rishonim. And then he said, I have an ironclad rule, I paskin like the three Gedolei Olam, which is the Rosh, the Rambam, and the Rif. Fine. That was a very innovative move on his part, but in any case, that's the Beit Yosef. So when you look in the Beit Yosef on any issue, you will find all the points of view before he paskins. His psak is written usually on the bottom, and later in the Shulchan Aruch. So when I look at the Shulchan Aruch and I see Simon Lamed Seif Hey, I go back to the Beit Yosef, and Baruch Hashem today we have editions of the Beit Yosef that have been divided according to the Shulchan Aruch. In the old editions, the Beit Yosef is like a chunk of a page, and you don't know where to look. Today, Baruch Hashem, it is divided. So you can look very simply in Simon Lamed Seif Hey, and what does he quote? Moreinu Harav Yisrael.
Was that very contentious when people paskin about the Shulchan, which is based on three people? I mean,
it was a very, very, I would even say today, it was a very innovative, we would probably today in the lingo that's out there today, everyone has a mouth open, they all say it's probably a Reform Judaism way of looking at things, but it was very, I would say innovative. In other words, I don't care how many Rishonim said X or Y, at the end of the day, I go by three. And if two out of three agree, I also go by them. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch functioned. And if you want to see the precursor to the Shulchan Aruch, Rav Ovadia Yosef, who passed away not long ago, did exactly the same thing. Rav Ovadia Yosef said, I don't care how many people are on each side, and every one of his tshuva says, everyone that ever said anything on any topic, at the end of the day, we go with the Shulchan Aruch. And being Rav Ovadia, he used to say that the Ashkenazim should file the Shulchan Aruch because the Beis Yosef was the chief rabbi of Israel. I never understood that because I thought the chief rabbi eventually is not the chief rabbi when he dies. But apparently, according to Rav Ovadia Yosef, you can be a rabbi when you drop dead too. So, Rav Ovadia Yosef paskind that the Beit Yosef of Yosef Karo is the chief rabbi of Israel, and every Ashkenazi has to become a Sephardi. That means Slicho Zocho Deshel, glot meat, the works, everything. But at the end of his life, he became a little more, I would say, tolerant of us Ashkenazim. And being Rav Ovadia Yosef, he came along and said the following. With regards to the Sfardim, as the Pasuk says, Lechu Yosef asher yirmu lachem ta'asu. Go to Yosef, whatever he says, you shall do. Who said those words? Just funny.
Yosef.
No. Who said those words? No. Halavai was Yaakov.
Oh.
It was Paro. Paro says, go to Yosef. So I'm quoting the holy Paro, Zecher Tzadik of Recha, who said, go to Yosef, whatever he says, do. That was the Ravadja, what he said to every Sephardi, and he told all the Sephardim, the Tunisayim, the Morakayim, I don't care what customs you bring from home. Shulchan Aruch trumps it all. That was also an innovative move. So the first innovative move with why the Beit Yosef saying, I just pass him like these three, even though I bring all the points of view. And following suit, the Rav Ovadia Yosef brings all the points of view. And I'd say 98% of the time did exactly what I just said. Lechu el Yosef, asher yirmu lachem ta'asu. What do you say about the Ashkenazim? This is the end of his life. He became a little more tolerant of us Ashkenazim and our kitniot and whatnot. He said, Uvenei Yisrael yotzim biyad rama. That's already in the better pasuk. Because that's the Torah talking, that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu talking. Of course, Ramah is written Resh Mem Hey, not Resh Mem Aleph, but that's a small detail. So, the Ashkenazim Yotzim Biyad Ramah, the Sfarnim Asher Yomolecha Yosef Ta'asu, and here we are, And about the Beit Yosef gets this question, can you put on tefillin after Ma'ariv when you do an early Ma'ariv? Can even be on an Erev Shabbos from our perspective, let's say, but we're not going to go that far today. And he quotes, Bekitfei Morenu Harav Yisrael. And in the parentheses, in the Beis Yosef New Editions, it says, Trumat HaDeshen Bet Kufkov Aleph. Now when you say Trumat HaDeshen, you know his real name was Rav Yisrael Isserlein. And Rav Yisrael Isserlein wrote a quasi-responsa. Does anyone know what I just said? What is a quasi-responsa? Now we know what a book of halachos are, and we know responsa literature. What is a quasi-responsa?
He asked himself a question.
Very good. It is known today that the probably, again, there's no real evidence in the sense of we have 100% evidence. He doesn't write this, but we know it almost 99% that the Trumas HaDeshen basically wrote a book of Shailas and Tshuvas, of questions he asked himself, in order to teach halacha. It was a very nice way of teaching. Instead of just saying, in the morning wash your hands, Friday night make Kiddush. He made up questions. Everyone's interest was piqued. Wow. And then he taught the halacha. So that's the quasi-response that we're quoting. Shemishalo hiniach tefillin ad achar tefillat arvit. Whoever didn't put on tefillin until after Ma'ariv, asul lo anichamas. He cannot put him on then. Why? Ho il va'asau to layla betfilato, detrei kule lo avdinan. Because he made day into night by davening Ma'ariv, he said it's already night. Finished. You can't say it's night on the one hand, on the other hand, it's still day for tefillin. Can't do it. Consistent. The Shulchan Aruch following suit says, I would think, explicit, can't put on tefillin after Ma'ariv. But he doesn't. What does he say? Look at the next source. While Bruce is passing me the water. How does the Shulchan Aruch go ahead, thank you, and codify Rav Yisrael Isserlein, the Trumas HaDeshen's Psak, thank you.
Yesh Mishomer.
Whoops! Yesh Mishomer. Uh-oh. Some say, why didn't he just say it? He paskin. Most of the time the Shulchan Aruch paskins. This time he just says Yesh Misha Omer. And that Se'if in Shulchan Aruch, Lamed Hey, meaning Perek Lamed, Se'if Hey, he does not say first. There's a point of view that says you can't put on fillin, V'yesh Misha Omer not. He just starts straight. V'yesh Misha Omer. And I want to know why. Because that's already suspicious. If he would have borne the first point of view, then he says V'yesh Misha Omer. We're used to that. That happens sometimes. He can't come to a conclusion. Here he came to a conclusion, but he wrote his conclusion with the words, and some say. The Be'er HaGola in the Shulchan Aruch, who wrote the sources of the Shulchan Aruch, of course, refers us to the Trumas HaDeshen, because he looked in the Beit Yosef and he saw where he got it from. Explains the Mishnah Berurah, v'afilu od hayom gadol kodem hashkia, and even if there's a lot of time till sunset, v'fi shekvar sa'ul v'zman hazeh laila, you made it in tonight, v'zman shechiva b'kriyat shma v'tfila she'arvit, and it's now time to go to sleep because you said kriyat shma. When do you say kriyat shma? B'shoch b'cha u'v'kumecha. Leaving out the kumecha, b'shoch b'cha is when people start going to bed. This is bedtime already. So bedtime already, tefillin is out. So there's two assumptions here. Assumption number one is when you daven Ma'ariv at an early Ma'ariv, you are making day into night. Assumption number two, it is already b'shoch b'cha time. If it's already b'shoch b'cha time, you're reading Kriyat Shema, im yaniach bo tefillin yachzor v'yaseh yom. How can you do an about face after you've already said Kriyat Shema of the night, and you daven Ma'ariv, which is the night prayer, and then you turn around and say, you know what, maybe it's not night, I'll put on tefillin now. It says impossible. It makes no sense. It looks strange. No way.
So why do we say Ma'ariv again when it really is night?
We don't say Ma'ariv again when it really is night.
Shema.
Oh, now Bruce is beginning to understand. Remember I said a second ago, how come the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Misha Omer? I'm going to give my own svara here. You can disagree. I think the Shulchan Aruch was uncomfortable with this Psak Halacha because it's inconsistent with his own Piskei Halacha, on a whole slew of other issues that have to do with davening an early Ma'ariv. And indeed, the Mishnah Berurah on the spot on the left side of the page points out, Acha Achronim, Eliyahu Rabba, the Prima Gadim, Iskimu LaHalacha, Demechuyav LaAmichan, Uvali Bracha, Kol zman shu kodem tzeit ha-kochavim. So we won't put on a bracha in deference to the Chachamim. They made a gzera not to put on tefillin at night. Maybe it's night. So the bracha will shoo away. The brachas are only the Rabbanan. But there is a mitzvah biblically to put on tefillin. And it's not even night yet. It's broad daylight outside. So says the Mishnah Bura, even though I wrote a perush on the Shulchan Aruch, I love the Shulchan Aruch, this is the Chafetz Chaim, he was a very modest man. Mitzvah d'oraisa, to put on tefillin, it is still broad daylight outside. V'imu lo yitpalel adayin, and if he didn't daven ma'irif yet, even though in the shul, afal pi sha'atzibur yitpalelu, there's one minyan in town, and it's a plag a mincha ma'irif, and they daven right after the plag, it's a Friday afternoon, you didn't put on tefillin yet, and they've already davened Ma'ariv in the shul. You know, take out Friday afternoon, Thursday afternoon, and they've already davened Ma'ariv after plag. Says the shul of Mishnah Bura, and bekach klum, it is useless to you what they do in shul. The yanicham bi bracha imhu adayin yom, and you should put them on with the bracha. So the Mishnah Bura says, with due deference to Shulchan Aruch, if it's still broad daylight outside and you daven Ma'ariv, put on tefillin without a bracha. If it's broad daylight outside and you yourself have not davened Ma'ariv, put him on with a bracha. And I can understand the Mishnah Berurah. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and this is a fluke to daven Ma'ariv, which is a derabanan / not even a chova. Obviously, this trumps that. Makes perfect sense. Right? And indeed, comes along the Bir Halacha, which is the super commentary of the Mishnah Berurah on himself. So once again, let's put the names here straight. The Chafetz Chaim's real name wasn't Chafetz Chaim. Yisrael. Anyone? Meir. Rav Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan from a place called Radin. And he wrote a perush on the Shulchan Aruch Chaim called Mishnah Berurah, where he brings different points of view. And then he wrote a commentary on himself. I would really love to one day write a commentary on myself. I wonder how I would super analyze myself. I'm always thinking about that. How can I psychoanalyze myself? But Baruch Hashem, the Chafetz Chaim was a great Jew, an amazing Jew. We all know that the biggest compliment you were given, you should be like a Chafetz Chaim. He lived a long life. We all know how he dedicated his life to so many things, Shmirat HaLoshon and whatnot. Last year there was a video released of him actually walking, which was amazing for two reasons. Number one, everyone knew he was alive. He wasn't Stam a fairy tale. And number two, did you notice that video? Well, the Rabbanim are dressed in rabbinic garb except for one person. Yes. The Chafetz Chaim is wearing a little hat. Small man. Everyone's so dressed nicely. He's simple. Says the Bir Halacha, which is his perush on himself. The Fizeh, Lo Otana Anashim Azirim, they called Otpam Kriyat Shema Bizmana. If you're already going to say Shema again after your early Ma'ariv, why? Why would you repeat Shema again when it gets dark? Because you say Ma'ariv is the Rabbanan, but on a D'oraisa level, we have to say Shema when it's night. Night, not just I made it into night, but night mamash, when it's dark outside. Then Kol Shekein, he says, you're supposed to put on tefillin, because it's Hainuach. Well, if you say a mitzvah D'oraisa is not stumped by your Ma'ariv, and that's called Kriyat Shema, then tefillin, which is also a mitzvah d'oraisa, is not stumped by your ma'ariv. So we have an interesting difference of opinion here. When you daven an early ma'ariv, have you turned day into night, and therefore it's night, tefillin is out, rabbinically, but out? Or no, you have daven ma'ariv, but it is still day. It is still day, at least for biblical commandments. Machlokes, Shulchan Aruch, with the Mishnah Brura. Next week, we will then pick up from this point on, and we will try to understand how come the Shulchan Aruch himself didn't paskin, like with stomping of his feet on the floor and banging on the table, but he said, Yesh mi she'omer. There are some that say, and he didn't bring a dissenting opinion. How come the Shulchan Aruch himself was uncomfortable? We'll see next week. Sure.